Thank you. Okay, members, if everybody's happy to start, sorry for the slight delay. Everybody's very welcome to today's Audit Committee meeting. And we're going to start with apologies, please.
Yeah, we have apologies from Councillors Gibbons, Howie and King.
Okay, members, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. I'm assuming everybody can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting. It may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those in the chamber have spoken. Therefore, instant messages should be kept the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, C for comment, P for propose, S for second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make during the meeting. And I believe, person Kathy, there's no members online, so I don't need to look for. Okay, members, thank you. Okay, so that takes us to item number three, members, which is the action sheets, the Audit Committee of today. Thanks, Joseph. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon.
Declarations.
Oh, yeah, well, I was assuming there was none when I think there's no declarations of members, no members. Interest.
Sorry, Chair, no, none of declaration of interest, just apology for Sinead, Mark.
Okay. Okay, members, we move to the action sheet, item number three. And we take it page by page for accuracy first. So, members, page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. And page five. So, I'm simply going to take that, members, as action points.
Just on page two, in relation to an update on the Mourne Mountain Gateway project, I say that there was a commitment that a report would be tabled to this Audit Committee, and I don't see it. You can just ask why that is.
Thank you for the question.
Thanks, Chair. I think that the action parts of it would be tabled at Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee, and that will be tabled at the appropriate committee whenever the final account has been settled with the consultant. And we hope to have that by the end of August.
Just to clarify, thank you, Connor, for that update. I think the members were keen that the report then would come after that to the Audit Committee. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Okay, members. Okay, Councillor. Thank you very much. So, any proposer and seconder to approve the action points? Proposed by Councillor Devlin. Seconded by Councillor Mathers. Thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number four, which is the Audit Committee Annual Report for 24-25. I'm going to assume everybody's had an opportunity to read it, and it reflects the work that we did over the year. I'm happy to report that the outcome was reflecting of an effective Audit Committee, and the Annual Report shows all the elements of the risk management, internal audit, the accounts, the annual governing statement, the external audit, etc. There are a few items, members, that have come up through the checklist that we use, the NIAO new checklist that was used to assess the effectiveness of the Audit Committee. and you can see those there under 3.1, particularly items E through to I, and we'll bring back some work on that in due course. It includes understanding the cyber and digital risks impact on the council, assessment of the climate change, oversight of the controls, evaluate to understand how effectively fraud is reported and being addressed, and ways to find feedback from internal audit and external audit as to their assessment of the effectiveness of the audit committee, and training as well for members, which I believe has been looked at for autumn period. So members, just to say thank you for your cooperation and for your input over the year, and if you have any questions, very happy to take them on the annual report. Okay, members, no questions coming through. I'm looking for a proposer and seconder to approve the report. Councillor O'Hara, thank you. Councillor Sharvin, thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 5, which is the corporate risk register, including the AHC directorate risk register as well. Thank you, Josie.
Members, the papers are in front of you this afternoon. You can see that as a senior management team, we met on the 22nd of July, reviewing the corporate risk register and the assurance statements for 24-25 have been reflected in the corporate risk register. You can see the updates that have been made. In relation to the Mourne Mountain Gateway, we had met on the 22nd of July, which was prior to the announcement by the Deira Minister in relation to Kilbroney Forest Park. If you remember, in relation to our update on the in relation to the National Trust lease, this is still ongoing with BRCD, and there are options being explored. So at this stage, we have done our updates to the corporate risk register. It is a live document. If anything has to change in due course, we will do that. But at this stage, options are still being explored. And as Conor has already said, in due course, a report will go back to SPNR. So that's the corporate risk register. And as the chairperson said, today we have the Active and Healthy Communities directorate risk register here for members to go through. I will leave it there if there are any questions in relation to.
Okay, members, no questions. Thank you, Josephine. Oh, sorry. Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just back to the Gateway project. Now, one of the consequences listed always talks about the reputational damage to this council, the failure of delivering these projects. And my fear is that we are now becoming a laughing stock across the councils. And I'm looking through the risk register to see if there's anything we could have done to mitigate some of these barriers, and I see very little detail. So, for example, did the council know that this project at Kilbroney was dependent on approval for DERA? And if so, why was it not a risk factor on the risk register?
Maybe you'd like me to respond on that. I think it's important that we set out what happened following the National Trust announcement. The council agreed to explore the opportunity of moving the project to another site, i.e. Kilbroney. The council never made a decision to move it. It was to explore the opportunity. And part of that exploration was engagement with the department in respect of the land access. That had been happening over the last 6-7 weeks. And this week we got a response back from the department to advise that they would not permit the project to proceed on their land. Nothing else has happened. We have now concluded the exploration and the land is not available, and that's the position of the council.
As I say, you know, this report has the date, the 24th of July, on it. So we have known that Kilbroney was being discussed now for well over 2 months. And when I look at the potential root causes for failure to deliver this project, there's no mention of the fact that we would need approval from the DERA minister. So my question again is, did we know that this Kilbroney would be dependent on the approval of the DERA minister? And when you consider that the DERA minister is an alliance, and we know that the Alliance Party have a clear position on this project, would that not have been a sensible risk factor to have the potential root cause.
Yeah, I'll maybe answer that. And the MOU that we have in place with Deira Forest Service sets out the arrangements and how we deliver tourism facilities on parks where we have a lease, and that was the basis on which we were managing that process. So it was a procedure and a process and an operation that was tried and tested and has been in place for 10 years, and we were relying upon that in the discussions with Deira.
Mr. Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I suppose I'm coming in to clarify what I hope is right. It's not that the council themselves identified Kilbrony as the number one project to explore from the list that we received. Did we as a council not go to, I think, Tours MNI to score and rank the projects to identify which ones were best to explore from the remit that we were trying to get? Because my understanding is that we did have a list. We asked other officials to assess it. They scored and ranked it, and then it was identified that Kilbrony came out as the highest scored ranked one, and that is why we as a council went forward in exploring it as an opportunity.
I can respond to that, Chair. Yes, it's correct that there was a range of options that were submitted to the council from members of the public and elected members. They were shared with Tourism NI. They carried out an assessment of each option against the criteria for the project as set out within the ambitions of BRCD and within the original business case that was approved. They weren't scored and ranked. They were assessed as to whether they aligned and met the criteria, and only one project at this moment was selected as being suitable for further exploration, which was the project in Kilbrony, and that's why we explored the opportunity of relocating the project to that site. And so, no, it wasn't just one selected and others not considered. There was an exercise which was informed by Tourism NI.
And I suppose, Chair, just follow up. Thank you, Connor. I suppose the wording of scoring and ranking was incorrect, but ultimately it was scored and ranked because through assessment there's only one project that was identified, and so the terminology can be misconstrued in any particular way. And this is probably not the forum. I did sit on the programme board to ask the question, but was the Minister informed of how the project would actually look? You know, from a risk perspective, the question from Councillor Bowsey is, did we assess it from a risk perspective? We have an MOU in place. We've worked with it for a number of years. You know, from an assessment perspective of exploring, you know, yes, there is a risk. Obviously, it is not our land, but actually from experience and past experience, you know, exploration is afforded because you would expect the risk to be low because there's not any expenditure really other than officer's time. But I'm just trying to understand from Councillor Bowsey's question of where the risk is, did the Minister have all of the information that he required to actually make an assessment, and then we would have considered it a risk? Because if the Minister didn't have all the information, I don't even know what the route would have been up to Brunei, so I don't know how he did. So that is a risk that maybe he doesn't have the information to make a decision. So I'm just trying to understand what information we share with the Department for such a judgment to be made.
And Chair, in response to that, we are not aware of what information the Minister was in possession of and reaching his decision. We had engagement at a high level with Forest Service, and we advised them at a high level that of our intentions to explore the opportunity within Kilbrony Forest Park, and that was the extent of the engagement, and we received the correspondence the other day in response to that approach that we made to them in respect of, and I have to emphasise, exploring the option, not looking at defined project or routes, entry points, exit points, termination points, anything like that. So that detail doesn't exist because we didn't know. It was a very high-level general request and engagement, and that was what informed our discussions with the department.
Thank you, Connor, for that information.
Sorry, Chair, one last thing, because we're obviously talking about risk in this instance. Is there anything from an officer's perspective that you think we could have done differently to reduce the risk, given your response of what we're not sure the information the Minister was presented or how he made a decision? I don't know how we could do anything different, but is there anything from a risk perspective that we feel we could do better in the future?
Chair, and if I just come in on that, I think it's important to say that we've been operating under a memorandum of understanding with the Forest Service for since 2017. And under that memorandum of understanding, we've invested over £10 million in forest parks across the district, including Slade Gullion, Castlewellan Forest Park, and Gullion, Castlewellan and Kilbrony, and indeed have plans to invest further funding within the forest parks, in particular Castlewellan Forest Park, which actually has a project ongoing at the minute, and then the Treetops Walk as well, which is currently under consideration. All of that has been done in the arrangement of the Memorandum of Understanding, which sets out the roles and responsibilities of each partner and the consideration thereof. And the Memorandum of Understanding very clearly sets out that projects should be meet statutory approvals, etc. So one of the things that we as a council, I think, need to give consideration to is the risks involved actually with the Memorandum of Understanding moving forward and any proposals around investment and how decisions are then taken from a departmental level as to our allowances, because the council actually spends about in the region of 300,000. I'll be able to have to just check the full accuracy of that figure on an annual basis operating our forest parks. So the council are very heavily invested in them under this memorandum of understanding. But I think the appropriate thing at the minute is to take some time, give consideration, and we will report back into our strategy, policy, and then ultimately back to our audit committee on how we manage that moving forward.
And thank you, Marie. I think it's important that we do take time to assess that, because certainly when you see that the Alliance website had the news up before any of the media outlets, you know, it clearly shows the 29th of July, a local councillor stating the support of the withdrawal support, and then the news not breaking until the next day. You sort of have to wonder where judgment is, and that's for me to say, it's not for the council to say, but yeah, certainly I think it's important that we do learn from this, and I think more importantly we need to identify a project or projects that meet the criteria so that we as a council retain, you know, 30 million of investment. I think that's really important. This is massive amount of money that potentially could be lost to Newry Morning Down.
Councillor Sharvin, Councillor Hannan.
Yeah, I think it's important that we also don't damage the relationship we have with forestry, because it has been so positive up to this point, and that it has been a decision taken over and above the chairman or CEO of the forestry department. And you know, it's not to detract from any future investment or any future progress. You know, if we look at Slave Gullion and we look at other projects that are potentially going to go to Kilbrony, and especially Castlewellan, that we don't want it to be a severed relationship over this decision, which seems to have been taken just without any sort of exploration of what the actual proposal would have been. And as we've alluded to already, there was no route decided, there was no height decided. There's really been nothing other than what appears to be a visit to the site and then a judgment made by a minister, which is that's his prerogative to do, but I think the fallout of it could be negative if we don't make sure that, you know, the working relationships and the MOU that's there is adhered to going forward.
Yeah, and Chair, I think that's something I would say. You know, I was involved in the original establishment of the Memorandum of Understanding with the Forest Service, and this council really recognises the strength of the forest as tourism assets within our district. And we have excellent working relationships with the Forest Service, and you know, I want to put that just on record. And we will have moving forward as well as we continue to develop. I think the point that I'm making just is that we need to review the MOU with our partners just to understand how decisions are made, so that we don't end up in a position where we're investing or spending money that could be nugatory. And that's probably to Councillor Bowsey's point. You know, we will look at that from a risk perspective moving forward. But I do have to say, you know, we have very strong working relationships, really good. There's been significant investment in our forests, and we want to continue to do that, but we just need to manage that risk from a perspective.
Okay, thank you, Chief Executive. Josephine, I'm just going to check. No further questions, so thank you to Connor. No.
Unless there's any questions, Chair, but the AHC registered for noting if required.
Thank you. Okay, members, I take it there are no other questions in relation to the risk register, and we're approving a proposal and seconder to approve both registers. Okay, members, thank you. Thank you, Councillor Murphy. O'Hare, thank you very much. Okay, members, we move on to item number 6, which is the Performance Improvement Plan 25-26, and I'll hand over to Gerard. Thank you, Gerard.
Thank you, Chair. Members, in front of you is the Performance Improvement Plan for 25-26, so it's been here in all the committee and SPNR in many versions. So at the last SPNR committee, it was approved, and we're really just following our performance improvement policy. So it's at the Audit Committee for noting. So this was published on our website on the 30th of June, so I'm happy to take any questions on the...
Okay, thank you, Gerard. Members, any questions for Gerard? Questions? Okay, members, can we get a proposal? A few questions? Councillor Bowsey.
Just a wee suggestion. Don't know if this is the stage to give a suggestion, but... where it talks about allocation to sports clubs, I would quite like to see and community halls put in there too, because they also host a range of fitness and wellbeing programmes which generally cater for the less active and isolated in society than sports clubs do. So, thanks. Through the chair, that wouldn't be recorded as part of the performance improvement plan, but certainly we can bring that information back via AHC committee.
Thank you, Alfie. Okay, members, I beg your pardon, Councillor Sharvin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's something that I noted when I reviewed the document. Enforcement cases is quite missing the target. And I don't know if the green arrow, well, I suppose the green arrow is correct because it went down by 6. But I think it would be appreciative if we could have a report of the 500 or the 593 cases that are open. It'd be nicer to have a breakdown of how many of those 593 actually have been open longer than 12 months, and sort of have a more breakdown table and the plan to improve that. Because if you look a couple of years ago, we were below 500 that's been in the system for more than 12 months, and we're nearly at the 600 mark. It's on page 15 of 35 in appendix.
Sharvin, what page is that on? Sorry.
Page 15 of 35 in appendix 1. I don't know what it is on the print page. Yeah, so performance improvement plan, page 15. In the sixth row.
As for Sharvin, I think Jonathan McGilley, the Assistant Director of Regeneration, brings a report. I think it's quarterly or biannually to SPNR, but maybe it's something that can be brought, or that more further detail can be brought on that report going forward.
Yeah, and maybe that is the best place to do it. The reports are very focused on planning applications rather than enforcement, I suppose, but maybe when the next report comes that we do have that detail in enforcement and see Jonathan's online.
Yeah, we can do that too.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Charbon. Okay. If there are no further questions on that, could I get a proposal and seconder? Members? Proposed by Councillor Charbon, seconded by Councillor Bowsey. Thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to number 7, which is the planning update. And Jonathan online. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Chair. The report is there for noting it has been tabled at SPNR Committee in June and the June Planning Committee and discussed, so that it's really an update as to where we are around planning performance, the challenges that are faced and the ongoing actions to try to address some of those challenges, that those that we can control, those that maybe we're working with the department and other planning authorities through the Planning Improvement Programme and other initiatives that we've ongoing with some of the statutory consultees. So, Chair, the report's there, it's fairly detailed. It will, the statistics that are in it will have moved on, because obviously they were based on June figures and quarter end in August, a quarter end in December as issued by DFI, but they will have moved on as the annual reports are now available, but that will be reflected in the next report.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. Members, any questions in relation to the planning update report?
Yeah, the stats are continuing to be very concerning. I'd asked at a last meeting, the audit committee, for statistics on staffing, retention rates compared with the NI average, and if we could get some indication on the main reasons as to why staff are leaving the department, is it workload, is it pay, etc., and what's the council doing to ameliorate these reasons. But there's nothing really mentioned here. It's just a line saying difficulties with recruitment and retention of staff, and then it says unsuccessful trawl in March 2025 without saying why it was unsuccessful. So I think it would be fair to say that staff retention would be a major reason why we're failing to meet many of our targets. I think we need a lot more information presented to us as to what is happening in terms of staffing.
Thank you, Councillor Bowsey. Jonathan, would you like to come back on that point?
Chair, those details can be included in the next report. In terms of a trawl that was unsuccessful, the applicants mostly haven't the detail, but most applicants will not have obviously met the criteria to either be shortlisted or at the interview level. So we can provide that detail at the next meeting. However, I can confirm that there are 3 trawls currently ongoing for senior planner, planning officer and planning assistant. Interviews have been held in the next week and the following week, Chair, for all of those, and there's a substantial pool of people have applied and made it through the shortlist, but can't go into any more detail at this stage. So those are matters that are ongoing, but there are 3 trawls live at the 3 levels across the department, Chair.
Sorry, just a comment. I think it's wrong to suggest that it is the turnover staff that is creating the major issue in turnaround of planning. It's much more complicated than that, and that's set out and detailed in the report that's provided to SPNR on a regular basis. So I don't think it's correct to say that it's staffing that is the major issue. It is an issue, and it's an issue across the councils, but it would be wrong to say how it was framed by Councillor Bowsey.
I can only speak from experience. Every time that I'm chasing up planning applications, the response, say 7 times out of 10, is staffing pressures or something along the lines of we're waiting for it to be allocated to a staff member. It's not that they're waiting for information. It's not that the agent has been slow or that there's a lack of response from statutory agencies. Staffing, in my experience, is the issue, and I think we need to get to the root cause of that.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Devlin,
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Jonathan, for the report. I'm just there's a couple of points mentioned in terms of the validation checklist. I think it said in the report that that was going to go to committee in June. I'm just wondering, did that happen, and what was the outcome there, and will that be implemented? That was the first question. And then the second one relates to something that I've raised, I think, at this and in council before, regarding the statutory consultees and the delays right across Northern Ireland. I know that in the report somewhere it was mentioned that that's been raised at DFI at the strategic level. Has there been an outcome to that? I know that even in our pre-meeting we discussed the fact that whilst our council is prioritising some applications, particularly ones that maybe are job creation or something attached to that, but we understand then that maybe at the DFI level that there's not the same level of prioritisation there. I know certainly from my own experience, it's those consultation responses coming back that are delaying things as well. So I'm just wondering, was there any outcome to that being raised at the strategic level, Jonathan?
Chair, in terms of validation checklist, the validation checklist will be tabled at the August committee for implementation. There was a query had been raised and that needed to be checked legally. So that has been done, and the validation checklist will be tabled at August committee with an implementation plan to move forward. It had been consulted on widely with agents and through public consultations. So we've brought all that feedback back. So the aim is to seek the committee's approval at April or at August, sorry, hopefully that will happen, and implement thereafter. So that will assist with the bringing forward more complete applications to allocation as opposed to incomplete applications that sit in the system before they get progressed. So that is a progression, Chair. In terms of consultee feedback, it's an ongoing issue, Chair. There is some that meet the criteria, some meet the deadline, some don't, but elected members that will know that from queries that come with applications, there's quite a lot are waiting on consultee feedback. It's being raised with the department through the consultee forum group, and we have obviously had some constructive discussion with NI Water around the pilots to try to speed up consultations, but there are a number that still remain a challenge, Chair, and that's well documented over the past number of reports that have went to committee, and it's something that we continue to try to bring forward. But again, it's a resource issue as well for some of the consultee feedbacks, plus the volume of applications that were in receipt of, and the impact of reconsultation when applications have to be revisited and revised. That also has an impact in terms of consultation. So it's still a significant issue and a significant concern for us in bringing forward recommendations to committee, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Devon. Thank you, Jonathan. Councillor O'Hare.
Yes, I just wanted to add that I share the concerns that we have across the committee about the difficulties that are being faced in planning and the processing times for applications, and obviously that's not ideal for anybody. I was wondering, obviously there are recruitment issues and other issues, but is it possible or an option to look at increasing the support levels that applicants receive to ensure, to try to possibly reduce errors that might come up in applications, or the level of understanding possibly that some applicants have about the process that they're engaged in, the time frame that is expected, and the various details that they are expected to provide. In an attempt to try to speed up the process, I'm assuming that some errors in applications or misunderstandings are part of the issue, and possibly adding to the processing times that we're seeing here. Would that be?
So, Chair, we do engage with agents in an attempt to try to iron out some of those issues, but I suppose a key factor moving forward will be the validation checklist, which will bring a lot more clarity to what an application needs before it's submitted and before it'll be validated, as opposed to it being validated with a low bar and then going back out looking the information and the applications in the process. So it will be much more, hopefully, informative for applicants so they know what they need up front, as opposed to putting in an application and then being asked for information afterwards. It won't stop that, because we can't control what our statutory consultees ask for, but it will give more clarity to applicants, hopefully, around what they need when they're coming in with an application, as opposed to coming in with, I suppose, less information. Sure, the detail is where we do get applications, the evidence quite clear, where applications come in and they are, you know, with all of the information, we can get them through the system quicker because it cuts down the amount of reconsultation and neighbourhood notification, etc. But that is something that we're very aware of, and hopefully the validation checklist will improve that.
Can I just ask again, just to double check, that line of communication when it's opened in an application process, does it go directly to the agent or does it go directly to the applicant?
Well, it's the agent. In some instances, the applicant will apply direct and will deal with them, but it's through their appointed agent. That's how the applications come in. If that's how they want the information to flow, we don't go to the applicant and the agent. You know, that's doubling up, but it would be normally through the agent.
Is that possibly something that could be considered, that it could go to both sources?
Well, it is, but it's additional work. So at the end of the day, you appoint an agent to do a job for you. That's, you know, it would be up to them to, you would assume if you're paying an agent to do work for you, they would be keeping you informed. But if we have to go to applicant and the agent, well, it's additional work, it's a different additional engagement. But we do go to applicants where they apply directly themselves.
Okay, thank you, Councillor O'Hara. Thank you, Jonathan, for dealing with all those questions. Members, that's the end of the questions. Then I would like to get a proposer and seconder to note the report. Thank you. Proposer? Councillor Murphy, thank you. Seconder? Councillor Sharvin, thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 8, which is prompt payments. I'm going to ask Stuart to take this report, please.
Thank you, Chair. Members, in front of you is just the quarter one prompt payment statistics for 25-26. So there's 90% of invoices paid within 30 days, 10% within 10 days, and the average number of days to pay suppliers was 17.43 days. The report is just for noting, but happy to take any questions.
Okay, Councillor Sharvin, thank you.
Yeah, Chair, I suppose it's just a question of why so little of volume were done in 10 days. And the reason why I asked that, I did go back on last year to do a comparison to see, and that was my question. I was going to ask what was it compared, but actually I thought I'd go and do it myself. So in 24-25, 10 days was 44%, 30 days was 95%, and outside of that was 5%. I suppose my question is why have we seen such a low volume of prompt payments being, you know, within the 10 days bracket in comparison to last year when it was 44%. Is there any particular reasons why we've seen that, or is it just that's how it happened?
Okay, thank you, Councillor
Sharvin. No, I think it's a fair question, and even the average for 24-25, we had 94%, no paid within the 30 days and 46 within the 10 days. So I suppose there's a couple of different factors. The main one is we have had some absence in the purchase to pay team, but that is getting back on track now, and we've also introduced a new control in relation to non-purchase order invoices, but that wouldn't have led to that significant drop, and that was really it's to strengthen our internal controls because we don't want a whole heap of non-purchase order invoices. So there is further controls there, which are causing delays. But I would say for quarter one, it was mainly due to absence within the P2P team and getting the invoices on the system. But you know, we are rectifying that now. So it was just staff absence, really. So hopefully like we don't want to see stats drop below 90% for 30 days again. No, the new system has come in and it has seen big improvements, so we don't want to see that drop. So hopefully it'll pick up again for quarter two and definitely quarter three and four moving on.
Okay, thank you, Jared. Mr. Sherman. Okay, members, I'd like a proposer and seconder to note that report, please. Thank you. Mr. Sherman and Councillor Bowsey. That item number nine, then, is the Assurance Framework and Code of Governance. And, Jared, up again. Thank you.
Yeah, members, this is just an annual report that comes for approval each year, and the Council's Assurance Framework is summarised at Appendix 1. So it demonstrates how different sources of assurance and related key documents combine to enable Council to monitor its governance arrangements and produce evidence to support the annual governance statements within the financial statements. There's also a diagram which shows how the Council's Audit Committee, SPNR Committee and Council provide the oversight of these governance arrangements. So a lot of work has went into these documents over the years, so we just really updated. And there was just two further amendments made this year in relation to the quality screening outcome reports on the Council website and the planning for the future restructure now being implemented. And I suppose a lot of the document then is included within the financial statements at year end, which is the next agenda item. So it's just for members to note the report.
Thank you, Jared. Members, Councillor Bowsey.
On page 9, demonstrating strong commitment to ethical values. One of the ways we demonstrate this is the register of interests from members and senior officers. Members' register of interests are published online. I'm just wondering, in the interest of transparency, would it be worth putting the senior officers' declarations of interest also published online? There is a website in relation to senior officers' declarations of interest, but unfortunately it's blank and has been for quite a while.
Senior officers' declarations of interest are managed in line with the procedures set out, so we can certainly bring some of the back that's out how that works, so it is managed and in line with all other councils.
Okay, thank you, Chief Executive, Councillor Murphy. No further questions? Could I get a proposal and seconder to note that report? Chair Hanlon, thank you, and Councillor Bowsey, thank you. Okay, members. Items 10 to 19 are in closed business, so they are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2018. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. So could I have a proposer and seconder, please, to go into closed business? Councillor O'Hare proposed and Councillor Murphy second. Thank you so much. Okay, members, whilst in committee, the following was agreed. Item 10, Annual Governance Statement, Statement of Accounts 24-25. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Sharvin, it was agreed to approve the Annual Governance Statement 24-25, subject to any amendments, and to note the draft Statement of Accounts and Financial Statements as at the Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report. Item 11, Update and Audit Recommendations to Include Risk Profile. On the proposal of Councillor Mather, seconded by Councillor Devlin, it was agreed to note the progress in implementing both internal and external audit recommendations. Item 12, Direct Work Contracts. On the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note Quarter 1 financial year-end of 31 March 25 update in relation to DA activity and to note the development of the work being carried out, including the active DAC register at 30th of June 25. Item 13, Procurement Action Plans. On the proposal of Councillor Mather, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the update and progress in relation to procurement and the Director of Procurement Action Plans. Item 14, Update and Fraud and Whistleblowing. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Bowsey, it was agreed to note the following. The update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases as detailed in Appendix 1 of the Officer's Report. The progress on actions arising from the NIAO Internal Fraud Risk Assessment, Self-Assessment. And the update in relation to the National Fraud Initiative. Item 15, Annual Assessment of Chairperson's Performance. On the proposal of Councillor Devon, seconded by Councillor O'Hare, was agreed to note the assessment of the Chairperson's Performance. Item 16, Summer NI Summary Report. And item 18, Information Government's Audit Report. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Bowsey, it was agreed note the summer NI summary report to include the information governance audit report, item 17, internal audit plan 25-26, on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to approve the internal audit plan 25-26, and item 19, item 19, strategy bridging letter, on the proposal of Councillor Bowsley, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the strategy bridging letter.
Thank you.
And that concludes the meeting, and thank you all for your attendance and your contribution this afternoon. Thank you, members and officers, of course.